ladies and gentlemen, the single greatest conservative voices are back. And now your hosts, Max McGuire and Joe Waltman.
So back with this second hour. I have to do 2 hours of it because Merrick Garland said a lot of stupid things, a lot of radical things, showing that he should not be attorney general. He cannot be allowed to become attorney general. We are running a fax blast today to put pressure on Congress to stop his confirmation. Link in the description. I'm posting it in the comment section. It's pinned in the comment section on Facebook. It's in the comment section on DLive. And if you're in DLive, you can scroll down. There's a nice little panel there where you can click that Stop Merrick Garland from Being Confirmed panel and go right to our fax blast. Let me know if you guys appreciate that on DLive. It takes a couple minutes to set that up before the show. But if you like it, we'll keep doing it. So let's jump into this. We have a clip that I don't know if I want to play because it's very long. It's on systemic racism with Senator Kennedy. It's a 6-minute clip. I don't think we're going to play that. But I am going to play the clip on racial equity that I accidentally mislabeled it earlier. Equity versus equality. Equality is that we all deserve the same type of respect. Equity is that we all deserve the same kind of outcomes. There is nothing equal about equity. It is deliberately treating people unequal to raise people up and bring other people down. So let's just
It's a model of persecution. Sorry.
Yeah. Let's just see what Merrick Garland has to say about racial equity. Let's play cut number 9.
Yes, I think discrimination is morally wrong. Absolutely.
You're aware that President Biden has signed an executive order stating that his administration will affirmatively advance racial equity. Not racial equality, but racial equity.
Yes, and I read the opening of that executive order, which defines equity as the fair and impartial treatment of every person without regard to their status, including the individuals who have been in underserved communities where they were not accorded that before. But I don't see any distinction between in that regard. That's the definition that was included in that executive order that you're talking about.
So he's not going to give an answer.
He hasn't given an answer to anything.
What he supports. Yeah.
But the fact that nobody is, they're allowing them to create political answers in a position where you get to persecute Americans, to me is unconscionable.
Yeah.
Just makes no sense.
This is the guy, he wants to be the chief law enforcement officer in the country, and he doesn't see a problem with equity versus equality. I mean, you take that again, not his words, but you take it to its logical conclusion. If you support equity, you support programs that give African Americans more of something than white Americans because they deserve it because they've been kept down, or that you need to discriminate in order to create equity. I mean, no, this guy cannot be attorney general. This is far worse than anything dreamed up in the Obama years. For whatever reason, either he just got these beliefs or he's been hiding them. For whatever reason, Democrats think it's okay to now just come out with all these loony ideas. So he cannot become, he cannot become the chief law enforcement officer in the United States if he does not believe that it is a violation of the Constitution to treat one racial group better than the other. Just not how it works. We got a troll. Well, not a troll, just someone trying to monetize our comment section. I am banning him. Official Birdman has now been banned. Thank you, everyone, for pointing him out.
Bye.
And again, our call number 888-441-1121 if you want to discuss any of this. let's play his comment on immigration. This is where he was asked whether he believes it's a crime.
This is crazy.
Enter the United States illegally, and he doesn't know. Let's go ahead and play cut number 11.
Talk a little bit more about the law enforcement challenges at the border, which I know a number of other members have brought up with you. Just a fundamental question. Do you believe that illegal entry at America's border should remain a crime?
Well, I haven't thought about that question. I just haven't thought about that question. I think, the president has made clear that we are a country with the borders and with a concern about national security. I don't know of a proposal to decriminalize but still make it unlawful to enter. I just don't know the answer to that question. I haven't thought about it.
Will you continue to prosecute unlawful border crossings?
Well, this is, again, a question of allocation of resources. We will, the department will prevent unlawful crossing. I don't know, I have to admit, I just don't know exactly what the conditions
I don't understand.
Are and how this
he almost
is
said it.
Done. I think if, I don't know what the current program even is with respect to this, if there, so... I assume that the answer would be yes, but I don't know what the.
I assume that the answer would be yes, but I haven't thought about it. Here's a really easy way to answer this.
Yes.
Do you think
or no
that illegal immigration should stay criminal, a crime? Yes, I do. If I am an attorney general, I will be sworn in and swear an oath to faithfully execute the laws of the United States, I will do that. And anyone who tries to get rid of that law, I will oppose it. That's simple. That's the common sense answer. But he's refusing to actually answer it because he knows it's a political question. That if he says, you can't say that there's no one proposing opening the borders and then act completely terrified of the question. The fact that he's terrified of the question shows you that there are Democrats out there who would be very mad at him if he held that position. If it's not a legitimate policy proposal, he should feel free to explain it, to say, yes, I support it. It's a crime. It should stay a crime. The fact that he's dancing around it, so afraid, shows that, yes, there are Democrats who want it that way. Joe?
I mean, look, we're talking about a clown in clown face. I mean, this guy's an absolute piece of garbage. He's trash, like everything else on the left. And I keep saying it over and over again. I don't feel that intelligent because I keep pointing out the obvious. Because I don't know how Democrats could even support him, even moderate Democrats, because there are some moderate Democrats. I don't know how they could not step across the aisle and be like, well, this is crazy, except for fear of loss, that they won't be supported on their next run for election and they'll primary him out. That's what you get out of it, is that there's no conscience anymore. There's no conscience to the people. We're not represented. If it's teaching you anything, we're not represented as people. We are not represented as people at all. We're not represented in any part of our society. We're not represented on the local level. We're not represented on the state level. We're not represented on the national level. We're slaves. That's what we are. We're slaves. They want to make everybody a slave, by the way. Yeah. That's the equity program, is let's make everybody a slave.
Or make you pay a little bit more in taxes so they can give extra money to African-Americans because they deserve it because they've been kept down for so long. Yeah. And instead of saying that everyone should have the free right to apply for a job, let's say, oh, no, well, they should get the jobs. They deserve it. Here is, put up image number 4. This is the Washington Post reporting on the new Joe Biden detention center for illegal alien children. They call them migrant children. I want you to take a look at that. Joe, what do you see?
First migrant facility for children opens under Biden.
What do you see in the picture?
They look like jail cells.
They are shipping containers with bars. Put up image number 5. That is a shipping container with some insulation and bars on the window.
Yeah.
So we went from Donald Trump being accused of putting kids in cages, which if they are cages, they were built under the Obama regime. Now, in an attempt to get rid of the cages, they are bringing in shipping containers with bars on them, but not cages. That's different. Not a cage, just a shipping container. We're going to put the kids in shipping containers. That's going to be better. And just put that image number 4 up again, Mr. Producer. This is how the Washington Post reported it. I want to fix it for them. Ms. Brewster, put up image number 6 instead. Yep, fixed it for them. AOC crying.
Oh,
AOC crying in front. Everyone remembers that is a Photoshop, obviously. Obviously, that is manipulated content. That is AOC, a picture of AOC crying in front of the so-called cages under Trump, noticeably silent about the shipping containers with bars on them under Biden. Here is Jen Psaki, that circle back girl, being asked about this. Let's put up cut number 12.
On immigration really quick, Merrick Garland was asked yesterday if illegal entry at the border should remain a crime, and he said, I haven't thought about that question. Does President Biden believe that illegal entry at the border should remain a crime moving forward?
Well, I think he was being asked as the Attorney General, the future Attorney General. I think he's looking to head to be confirmed of the United States. And if he wants to make considerations independently, he can certainly do that. But the President's spoken to this, and we believe in abiding by our laws. As you know, there, of course, is a process underway at the Department of Homeland Security to take a fresh look at prioritization and who is detained and who is sent back home. So that is something happening from the Department of Homeland Security. But again, if he's going to lead an independent Justice Department, and it is his prerogative to take a look at any policies under their purview.
And to that point, why is the Biden administration reopening a temporary facility for migrant children in Texas?
Well, first, the policy of this administration, as you well know, but just for others, is not to expel unaccompanied children who arrive at the border. And the process, how it works, is that Customs and Border Control continue to transfer unaccompanied children to the HHS Office of Refugee Resettlement. That can take a couple of days. I just want to give this context because people need to understand the process. But because of COVID-19 protocols, the social distancing requirements, the capacity at existing Office of Refugee Resettlement shelters has been significantly reduced because, of course, you can't have a child in every bed. There needs to be spacing, and we abide by those spacing to protect the kids who are living in those facilities for a short period of time. And to ensure the health and safety of these kids, HHS took steps to open an emergency facility to add capacity where these children can be provided the care they need while they are safely before they are safely placed with families and sponsors. So it's a temporary reopening during COVID-19. Our intention is very much to close it, but we want to ensure that we can follow COVID protocols as unaccompanied minors come into the United States.
But it's the same facility that was open for a month in the Trump administration, summer 2019. That is when Joe Biden said, under Trump, there have been horrifying scenes at the border of kids being kept in cages. And Kamala Harris said, basically, babies in cages is a human rights abuse being committed by the United States government. So how is this any different than that?
We very much feel that way. These are facilities. Let me be clear here. One, there's a pandemic going on. I'm sure you're not suggesting that we have children right next to each other in ways that are not COVID safe, are you?
I'm suggesting that Kamala Harris said that this facility, putting people in this facility, was a human rights abuse committed by the United States government. And Joe Biden said, under Trump, there have been horrifying scenes of border at the border of kids being kept in cages. Now, it's not under Trump, it's under Biden.
This is not kids being kept in cages. This is a facility that was opened that's going to follow the same standards as other HHS facilities. It is not a replication, certainly not. That is never our intention of replicating the immigration policies of the past administration. But we are in a circumstance where we are not going to expel unaccompanied minors at the border. That would be inhumane. That is not what we are going to do here as an administration. We need to find places that are safe under COVID protocols for kids to be, where they can have access to education, health and mental services, consistent with their best interests. Our goal is for them to then be transferred to families or sponsors. So this is our effort to ensure that kids are treated, are not in close proximity, and that we are abiding by the health and safety standards that the government has been set out.
So it's a cage under Trump, not a cage under Biden. It's a human rights abuse under Trump, not a human rights abuse under Biden because COVID. Joe, am I missing anything?
No. No, it's just more justification of garbage.
What was the crazy? I mean, she says a lot there.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you want to unpack it?
What jumps up at you?
She thought she had him at an aha, as a gotcha moment when she said, you're not suggesting that during a pandemic we don't separate the kids, do you? Right. And he's like, no, that's not even what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, she's like, are you saying that
human rights violation?
The kids together? We should put the kids together in a way that's not COVID safe. I don't. Well,
yes.
Have kids be in the same room. I mean, it's called school. So just in case anyone doesn't miss that part,
I just want to know if they're going to separate the 30-year-old, 15-year-olds versus the actual 15-year-olds, or are they going to let them just kind of hang out together?
I don't know. No idea. This is the cages. I'm going to call this a cage because there's bars on it, and it's a box, and it has a lock on the door. I want to know, do they plan on shipping them in these containers? Is this going to be like how they're moved around the country? I mean, I look at that. Well, it's not a cage. It just happens to be a shipping container with bars on it. Not a cage, promise. Yeah, it was a human rights abuse when he did it, but it's not a human rights abuse when we do it because COVID, duh. I mean, COVID is what they believe to be a get out of jail free card, that no matter what they have to say, what they do, it's in the name of COVID. So it's suddenly okay. Oh my goodness. Okay, so it's okay to put the kids in cages as long as it's COVID and as long as they're shipping containers with bars on. Got it. Here's Merrick Garland being asked what he thinks about the original intent of the Second Amendment and not giving an answer. Let's play cut number 13.
Yes, sir. You'll be in a different role, confirmed to this position, one in which you'll have a significant impact on policy. So let's talk about policy as it relates to the Second Amendment briefly. Do you support universal background checks?
Well, I do think that it's very important that we be careful that people who are entitled to have guns get the background
Everyone's
check
entitled
that allows
to have.
Them to have them, and that those who are not entitled and who we are concerned about because they're threats, because of felons or for whatever reason barred by the law, that we have that there is an opportunity to determine that they not be given a gun.
Do you support banning specific types of guns?
I'm sorry.
Do you support banning of certain types of firearms?
Well, as I'm sure you know, the president is a strong supporter of gun control and has been an advocate all of his life, his professional life, on this question. The role of the Justice Department is to advance the policy program of the administration as long as it is consistent with the law. And as I said, so far we have a little indication from the Supreme Court as to what this means, but we don't have a complete indication. Where there is room under the law for the president's policies to be pursued, then I think the president is entitled to pursue them.
What about policies that would support holding firearms manufacturers liable for damage caused by people using firearms they produced to commit a crime?
I don't have a. I believe that the president may have a position on this question. I have not thought myself deeply about this. I don't think it raises a Second Amendment issue itself, the question of a liability protection. But I have not addressed this in any way, and I need to think about this.
He needs to think about it. He needs to think about it. So, Joe, what do you think about that liability plan that they have?
You're answering questions to become the attorney general, and you have to think about the answer to the question that you should have prepared for long before you actually showed up to that hearing.
Well, you should be able to think about it right now and say, you know what? I'm thinking about it. This is what my position is.
But here's my position. I mean, people have positions in their life that those things typically don't change unless you're a leftist or a left Republican. Unless you're a radical leftist or you're a left Republican, then it just changes with the wind. It depends on, I guess, who's in charge, the head of the snake.
So we're clear, a lot of people don't know. What they're talking about is liability protections against gun manufacturers. So there was a law passed during the, I believe it was George W. Bush, because the left tried to do this under Bill Clinton, to basically force gun stores, gun manufacturers, gun distributors out of business by accusing them of having liability in crimes committed by their guns. Joe, what do you think about, you're a part owner of a gun store, what do you think about selling a gun to someone who passes a background check, right, is a legal purchaser, that person then goes out and commits a crime, and then you get sued for the consequences of the crime? What do you think about that?
I think it's stupid.
Well, that's what the Democrats want to do. That's what Joe Biden's promising to do. The idea that you sell someone a gun,
yeah,
you are responsible for anything he possibly does with the gun.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, we probably turn away. I'm not in the store very often, but we probably turn away 25 to 40 people a month. So we do have a criteria.
Not even the turn away.
Well, we turn them away for multiple things. And we put them on a list, and we actually send it to other gun stores. And the reason why we do it is, one, if it's suspect, two, if they seem like they're unstable. So we have a whole criteria that we go through. And frankly, I think all gun stores should go through the same criteria. They should. And I'm not saying that we should make it law. It just should be ethics, right? How do we keep guns out of people's hands that are going to do harm?
They don't care about that, though. Like you sell, your gun store sells guns to police officers. They can get usually a deal on some like a Glock. It's like the Glock Blue program.
Yeah,
so you sell a gun to a police officer. That police officer then shoots and kills an unarmed black man. They then sue the police officer, and they sue you because you gave the police officer the gun at a discount, and you should have known that that police officer would have shot an unarmed black man.
Right.
Like, that's what I'm trying to explain. It doesn't matter how much due diligence you do. It doesn't matter how many background checks you run. They want to hold you accountable for anything done with the gun.
Yes.
And the whole purpose of that, Merrick Garland says it has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. It absolutely does. Because the whole point is to sue gun stores, retailers, distributors, and manufacturers out of existence. For him to say it does not violate the Second Amendment to put every gun store out of business or to make it impossible to run a gun store because of the liability.
Well, that's why we're actually building.
It's impossible to manufacture guns.
That's why we're actually out there building right now. We're looking at engineering an entire complex that will actually make ammunition and primers. Like, we're doing it right now.
Joe, so you build one bullet, and someone uses it to kill himself. The family sues you because you sold them the bullet.
Okay.
That's what they're talking about.
And I already told you what the response is. I already told you how we could actually get past this. We have to be willing to stand up. We have to be willing to stand up. We have to be willing to ask the right questions, do the right things, right? And make sacrifices. And if we're not willing to make sacrifices, then we get what we get. We're at that point right now where people are pissed off. More people are pissed off. More people are recognizing that you don't have constitutional rights, that there is no law and order. If there is no law and order, then you tell me what the decision that needs to be made. If we have left Republicans on one side and leftist radicals on the other side, and these are the people that are our leaders, then how do we actually rally behind those that are really leaders, replace those people, and do the things every single day that's necessary? You know, as one person pointed out, why don't we just shut down, stop doing business with them? But we can't. I'm sitting here telling everyone to move over to DLive. Move over to DLive. Get away from Facebook.
And DLive demonetized us for no reason.
Well, it's fine. I don't care about that. I really don't. But we're building a platform to actually do podcasts as well. We're starting to build that technology. We're trying to build the technology that's necessary. And it's, you got to plant a seed. You got to water it. It takes time. You have to have patience. You know, we're doing things to actually create comms platforms so we can talk to people. We're creating our own hosting network. We're doing all this stuff and buy data centers and everything else. And we're actively building that model so that anyone that actually gets involved in this adventure, right? It is going to be an adventure, has a probability of creating wealth. Wealth is generated from it. Like, I want there to be an output. I want people to actually go down this path.
I know.
I don't want to get to the point. Go ahead.
Well, I get that we need to do more, but in order to get people to do more, they have to understand the problem. Mr. Producer, yep. Put up my screen. This is the bill. The law that was passed in 2005, the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act of 2005.
Yeah.
Unless you are into guns, unless you own a gun store, chances are you have no idea what this law is.
Right.
This law was put into place because the anti-gun organizations were trying to sue the Second Amendment out of existence by basically saying anyone who sold a criminal a gun is responsible for the crime. Imagine someone goes into Home Depot, buys a hammer, uses that hammer to kill someone. Is DeWalt, the hammer manufacturer, responsible for the crime? Of course not. Of course not. If they go in and buy a lead pipe from Home Depot and kill someone with it, is it Home Depot's responsibility that they used a lead pipe to kill someone? No. But what Democrats want is they want to carve out an exception for gun stores. So that if gun stores do the same thing, sell a legal item that is used in an illegal way, they can be sued. The reason is that Democrats don't believe there should be any legal purposes for guns, and they want it to be assumed that when you sell a gun, you take on the liability of it being used, even in a legal way. We've right. always heard the stories about based in someone's house, they shoot them, and then they sue, or they break into the house, slip and fall on some ice, break their back, and they sue the homeowner, even though they're in the process of robbing them, right? They want to use the same logic for guns, that anytime anyone does anything, either illegal or in a civil liability way, it's everyone in the chain of the gun. So it's the manufacturer, it's the distributor, it's the wholesaler, it's the gun store, it's the gun seller, the person punching the numbers on the keyboard, filling out the background check. They want to get everyone. And they're not willing to open these liabilities to any other item. They only want it to be for guns. So yeah, I agree that there has to be a rallying cry to do something, right? But people aren't going to be able to do something if they don't know the specifics, because no one knows, like, 15 USC section 7901. I just had to read it. I don't know the actual part of the code. No one knows about the PLCAA. You have to educate them so they can realize that an aside like this that takes a couple seconds in a hearing that you think is not a big deal, it's actually a hugely big deal. And if the would-be attorney general doesn't think it violates the Second Amendment to allow radical activists to sue the entire gun industry out of existence, that you have the right to keep and bear arms, but no one said you have the right to buy them, that is a very radical statement. So I agree that we have to go beyond this, but the purpose of this show has always been to educate people in a way that the mainstream media doesn't bother to do, either because they don't want you to know about it, or in the case of Fox News, where they would if they had the time, which is why we do long form deep dives into things that even if they get on Fox News or they get on OAN, it's only a couple minute segment. So that was Merrick Garland on the Second Amendment. Terrifying. Terrifying. And I'll remind everyone, when he was on the DC Circuit Court of Appeals, he voted in the DC versus Heller, the case in 2008 that ultimately reached the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court says, yes, you have the right to own a handgun. Merrick Garland voted to try and get that reheard at the DC Circuit level, saying that it was not decided correctly, that they should have relooked at it and not given people the right to own a handgun. So this guy is as radical as it gets. When he had the opportunity to protect the individual right, he voted in a way that indicates he does not believe that right exists. And now he's going to be the chief law enforcement officer of the land. It's worth talking about.
It's not just worth talking about. It's worth fighting against.
That's why we're doing a call to action, to try and get everyone to stop this, because it's not just an assumption. It's not just a given that he's going to sail through.
And if you don't participate on one side and you're not a part of the campaign, which, by the way, they have to actually print every fax, just so you know, it comes into it. Most of the time, those faxes come into their email. And from there, they have to print those faxes and they have to do something with them. So typically you'll get a response from the congressman as a result of it. You also can go in and actually change the wording. But if you don't do that, pick up the phone and call them. Blow up the lines. Let them know exactly what you think. Take time. Sacrifice. Yeah. Small sacrifices. Now, the bigger sacrifices are, how do we actually get to a place where we can fund all the things that are necessary? See, the left has done a really good job. Act Blue, it allowed Act Blue to basically launder money. Right? For black money, black ops money comes from there, right? Dark money.
Be careful. Don't say something that can be misconstrued as racist. We don't want to call it black money, Joe. We call it shadow money, but don't call it black money.
I can say whatever I want.
They're going to write an article about you.
How are you going to call me a racist? You can't call me a racist.
I can't even make fun of Lori Lightfoot's Halloween costume without being called a racist. I think if you say black money, they're going to get you.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
They're going to get you.
Get me.
They will.
They're already trying to get me. So I got to show up with security. Not because I'm you know, if things actually pop off, I'm not afraid. But there's a lot of things going on.
That's one of the reasons that they are, I think that's one of the reasons they're holding it in Florida. Because when they held it in the National Harbor, I was in Maryland, and there was no concealed carry laws there. So yeah. If you have reciprocity in Florida, you are allowed to carry a concealed weapon.
And I do. From
at least to the hotel.
Yeah. From Colorado has reciprocity with Florida.
Just make sure you have your permit. Make sure that you cross the T's and dot the I's with the packing of the gun in your checked luggage. So there was a lot of outrage over how Republicans handled the Merrick Garland hearing yesterday. Mr. Producer, put up image number one. This is a tweet that was put out from Michael Beschloss. He is a presidential historian. The left loves to go to him. They love to go to him over the past 4 years to explain how Donald Trump was outside of the norms. And to use this presidential historian to attack Trump, he posted on his Twitter a picture of Josh Hawley pointing and says, what U.S. senator in history pointed menacingly at witnesses like this? Well, he is a historian, so I thought it would be worth it to jog his memory. Put up image number two, Mr. Producer. Oh, yeah, that's Joe Biden doing the same thing. Oh, well, presidential historian, you'd think maybe he'd know that. But okay, benefit of the doubt. Ms. Producer, put up image number three. Oh, that's Kamala Harris, current vice president. Not allowed to point at people. Do we still have Pete on the line, Mr. Producer? If we have Pete on the line, Pete wants to talk about the cages and how crazy the cages were. Ms. Producer, do we still have Pete?
Is Pete still here? Do we have Pete?
Come on, Pete wasn't very cool. Use the microphone.
No, Pete was just yelling at me that you guys don't go to him fast enough, and I decided at the end to not let Pete on.
Oh, come on, he can yell at you. Don't take it personal.
We're gonna circle back.
I'm gonna be able to take a stand here. If people want to be jerks to me, they have to get through me to get to you guys, and that is my job.
Well, so come on, you gotta take a little bit. You gotta be people have
mad,
yeah.
I can do that. That is my job. You know what I mean?
People can yell a little bit.
I'm polite to everybody that calls, and that's the thing that gets me fired up here. You know, if you're coming at me trying to say that,
get off.
No, this is my soapbox moment. I'm gone.
Okay, thank you. Hot sauce. Hey, you just said give Josh some hot sauce.
Yeah. Josh, start being nice or else we're going to get you some hot sauce.
You know, every now and then we have to deal with snowflakiness from Josh because he actually has to deal with snowflakes calling. So snowflakes are rubbing off on him. He's like rubbing on him.
No.
Gets Joe, a little snowflakey.
Joe.
That's okay. No, don't. You can't. Now he's like, I'm stuck. I can't actually walk away. I can't do anything because he just said snowflake. And if I do, I'd be a snowflake. Dang. Go ahead. It's Pete. Yeah. Get him back on.
Pete, if you want to come back on.
Call Pete. Just pick up.
And we'll get you on.
Come on. I want to hear from Pete.
And anyone else, 888-441-1121 is
Pete says he loves you.
Number.
Actually, P. Savo says consequences. Oh boy!
So if Pete calls in, we will circle back. We'll make sure we circle back to it. We'll do a little.
Yeah, we'll circle back. I don't know if you saw this, but House Democrats were trying to push banning TV carriers Fox News, OAN, and Newsmax from the cable news network or the cable networks.
Yeah.
This is Orwellian. I mean, this is unbelievable what they're actually trying to accomplish. It is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. And that amazing that they didn't go after MSNBC when one of MSNBC's viewers shot up a bunch of congressional Republicans practicing for the baseball game, right? That no one called for MSNBC to be banned. But again, according to Garland, the Capitol bombing demands that we take every conservative news outlet off of the air, apparently.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you that the more I see news that comes out from the left, the more amazed I am that we haven't actually had a 50-state rise up of people at every environment. I think that people are starting to realize that law and order doesn't make any difference to the left. They don't care about law and order. They don't care about consequences. They don't care about accountability. They don't care about it. They're willing to put Merrick, whatever that guy's name is, Garland, in a position of trust and authority. They're willing to put a clown like that who can't even answer basic questions who say, I never even thought about the Second Amendment. How could you be the Attorney General and not think about the Second Amendment? How could you be the Attorney General and not
Second Amendment cases?
But he doesn't want to answer the question.
How can you say you've never thought about the Second Amendment when you've signed off on Second Amendment decisions? Like, how can they do that?
Yeah.
Joe?
I don't think you can. But that's the entire idea of what they're trying to accomplish. The entire idea of what they're trying to accomplish is not tell you what they're going to do till they get into office, and then we have to face the consequences. And the left doesn't care. And what is really amazing about all of this is that those Democrats that are moderates, that are Democrat senators and Democrat congressmen who don't represent the people back in their communities, they don't represent them. Those people are going to be next. At some point, they're going to come for them too. See, the radical only wants radical. That's why you have communism in China. That's why you had re-education and millions of people that were killed in China for standing up. First, they basically publicly shamed them, shaved their heads. Then they killed them. They flogged them. Then they killed them. So just, I want you to know that the left, these radicals don't see anything other than Nazism. They are Nazis. They are fascists. They are everything that they say they're fighting against. They want to allow pedophilia in, no problem. They want to allow us to take away our guns. If we don't have guns, we can't actually protect ourselves. And then all the crime can take over the community. And then we can have this elitist group that is protected by people with guns, and everyone else is basically sitting ducks. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
That is the country that we're going towards. And Democrats need to, you know, that there was an article that said there's an MSNBC, no, an NBC article. What is it called? I'm sorry. It was a survey that said that people by the droves are leaving the Democrat Party to go to the Republican Party. Blue collar workers are leaving the Democrat Party to go to the Republican Party. But they're going to the Republican Party only to be led by left Republicans, the same people that they have to worry about on the radical left. So we have to do things on our side to get rid of these establishment Republicans. We have to get rid of them. We have to start standing up and doing things on our side in order to solidify some sort of sensibility to the party. And we have to get rid of voting machines. And we have to stop letting people like Merrick Garland stand up and say that he doesn't have an opinion when we know he does. We know that he wants to take away our rights. We know that half the Supreme Court is garbage. And that there is no integrity to the judicial system anymore. It's activism. It's no longer a series of protecting and holding people accountable to the laws, unless it's you and I. Then they'll create political prisoners. But they'll let people walk across the border with COVID and all sorts of other diseases, and they don't care about us. We're talking about them electing people to, or excuse me, nominating people to a position where they can erode further everything that we do as a country. And if you think that Biden is the one that is actually pulling the strings, no, it's Obama. It's people like Obama. It's Rothschild. It's people behind all of them that are actually calling the shots, that are treating you like a slave. Give them 30, 40% of your money. We'll funnel it anywhere they want. Think about that. They can funnel your tax money anywhere they want, and there's nothing you can do about it. How does that make you feel?
Yeah. Yeah. In the Facebook comment sections, Barry just said, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Great job, Barry. Someone just got shot in Chicago. Look what you did.
That's not very nice.
Say it three times. Say it three times. It happens. That's the Beetlejuice rules.
Look, we have solutions, people. We have solutions. There are solutions at our fingertips. There are things that we can actually do. But as we push further down the line of things that are going wrong, it's very difficult if we don't start standing up and standing together. If we don't have a funnel of which we actually funnel people and say, okay, they're like, okay, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to walk door to door. Guerrilla marketing. We're gonna, and this is something we're coming up with though, and you guys will actually see this. We're gonna come up with stickers, and your job is to put those stickers everywhere. Your job is to buy a bunch of stickers from us that talks about the constitutionality and the fact that that the radical left are pedophiles, rapists, and closet racists. They're actually gonna be stickers that say that. The left are liars. They're gonna say all of what I'm telling you right now.
But do not stick them anywhere you're not allowed to stick them.
Hey, I'm not going to tell you where to stick them. This is guerrilla marketing. This is guerrilla. This is how people in the community actually get to see a message that's true. Because they can't see it on the media, right? So where can they see it? Every stop sign, every street sign, every building window.
If that's what people want to do, they can do it. We can't advocate.
I didn't advocate for it. But I mean, if it ended up there because someone happened to do it, I can't say anything, Max. Free advertising. Free advertising, not for us. It's not going to say anything about us. It's just going to be, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the radical left are, say it with me, pedophiles, rapists, and closet racists. That's what they are. And they're liars. They lie about everything. They are everything that they say that they're against. Those are going to be our stickers, and we're going to put them out. And so they'll be out in about a week. We have them. We're actually building. I'm going to get 1 million of them. So you'll have the ability to buy bundles of 1,000. No, it's a real thing, Max. If you want to have an effect, you have to let people. You have to let people know that you're not the only one. You're not the only one.
No, I get it. This is the first I've heard about the stickers. So we can
I've been working on it. I've been working on lots of stuff.
I don't know if a week getting 1 million stickers is doable, but maybe. I don't know. This is the first I've heard about it.
No, we ordered a million. A million stickers.
And they don't mention
April says, shut up and take my money. Yeah, listen, if we actually are able to do this and we're on and I'm not going to tell you where to put it, but if it happened to be on your book, in your book bag, if it slipped off that and ended up on a park bench, if it ended up in other places, I don't know where it would end up. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be great if everywhere we go, if we have an army of people. I don't want 1 million stickers. I want 50 million stickers. I want those stickers everywhere. I want to basically look up and see shirts with the sticker on it. I want people to know everything that the left represents, and I want people to know that we're standing up for it. And if everyone turns around and sees these stickers everywhere, and that's just one part of what I want to do. I want to build a Patriot network, yeah, which somebody actually said, which we're actually in the process of doing right now. I want to do things that take us down a path where we can ignore these clowns, but call them what they are. Put that scarlet letter right on their chest. Say, you know what? You guys are clowns. Circle back. Circle back to me. That's what I want to do, and I think we can do it. I think we can do it. I mean, imagine that. Imagine if you had 1,000 stickers. Okay, we probably wouldn't want to buy 1,000. That's expensive.
Stickers can be considered defacing. So just, we don't want to advocate that anyone deface anything. Just, no, Joe, wink, wink, nudge, nudge isn't legal protection.
I didn't say that. What I said is just stop. We're not giving anybody any ideas on where the stickers have to go. They can go on their back car window for all I care, right? I'm not telling them where to put it. I'm telling you that for Gorilla, they can hand them out to people. Here, 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 here.
Okay. I always worry about the legal liabilities, but fine. We'll be stickers.
What's the legal liability? People, you're listening. You're watching this right now. Is there a legal liability? Did I hold your hand? Did I force you to do anything? No, I didn't. But if you're going to stand up, stand up. If you're not going to stand up, that's fine. Just keep listening to us. We'd love to talk to you. Call every now and then. I want Pete to call back just to irritate Josh. But, I mean, put them on the BLM signs. That's what Taz says.
That's a great recommendation. If someone has defaced something with Black Lives Matter,
so you can deface the defacing.
You're not defacing the item. You're defacing the defacement. I like that loophole. I like that very, very much. And maybe instead of putting stickers on the shirts, we should just make the shirts so that the stickers don't fall off when they are washed.
Okay, oh, no. These are going to be sticky, sticky stickers.
All right.
UV stickers.
I believe it.
Oh, no.
We have a couple minutes left of the show. We're going to circle back and play a couple more clips of Merrick Garland because we're not even done. He was asked about transgender athletes playing in sports leagues. Well, just listen what he said. Cut 14.
Give it to them. And it made me sad, but it reaffirmed my role as a judge.
Okay. In my last 20 seconds, I'm going to ask you if you agree with this statement. Allowing, and I'm not suggesting the answer one way or the other, I just want to know what you believe. Allowing biological males to compete in an all-female sport deprives women of the opportunity to participate fully and fairly in sports and is fundamentally unfair to female athletes.
This is a very difficult societal question that you're asking here. I know what
it's not a societal question.
I'm going to be attorney general.
I may not be the one who has to make policy decisions like that, but it's not that I'm adverse to it. Look, I think every human being should be treated with dignity and respect. And that's an overriding sense of my own character, but an overriding sense of what the law requires. The particular question of how Title IX applies in schools is one, and in light of the Bostock case, which I know you're very familiar with, is something that I would have to look at when I have a chance to do that. I've not had the chance to consider these kinds of issues in my career so far. But I agree that this is a difficult question.
Thank you, Judge.
It really isn't. It's really not a difficult question. Should biological men be allowed to kick the crap out of girls in sports or even combat sports? It's not a difficult question. It's not a crazy societal
but
issue.
He can't answer any questions. It's not just this but question. It's any question.
But as Kennedy said, as Senator Kennedy said, he's like, well, this is a serious societal question. He's like, well, no, you want to be attorney general. And yes, if this is the Biden administration's policy, then if school were Come to on. Violate that policy, it would go through the Department of Justice.
Listen, this administration,
violating civil rights.
This administration, to me, is more like a high school prom club. That's what it is. That's the equivalent of how they act. They act like mental midgets. These are children. These are children that are running our country. Children. That's how you know they're not actually running our country. That's how you know that other people are pulling the strings, because they're weak and ineffective and ineffectual voices, period. They don't have an opinion. None of these people have an opinion. Their opinion is what they are told to have. They don't have an opinion. We're not talking about smart people. These are people that went to college, read a book, took a test, got out in the marketplace, and became people that they can manipulate. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with manipulative.
It's really interesting that Merrick Garland can cite specific cases dealing with transgender rights, but when asked about what the Second Amendment means, he, being an appellate judge in the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, hadn't thought about it. But on the issue of whether trans people should be allowed to use whatever bathroom they want, not only has he thought about it, he can cite the actual case. So it's just very, very interesting. It's always an issue of priorities. I get that. But it's very clear here that he only seems to care and think about the things that are politically important to him. When you're talking about all of our rights and whether our rights should be respected and upheld, seems to be noticeably absent any type of thought or coherent exposition. So we have another clip, one more clip, one final clip. They asked him what he thought about Andrew Cuomo and the nursing homes. And in case people don't know this, Andrew Cuomo is currently, his administration is currently under investigation for withholding the data of how many Americans in nursing homes were dying from COVID-19, withholding that complete data set for political reasons. So it's not just an issue like he didn't tell everyone the truth. People were making decisions on whether or not to put their loved ones in a nursing home when he was deliberately withholding the truth. So without a doubt, there were people who put their loved ones in a nursing home thinking that there were fewer deaths than there actually were. And if they had been given all of the complete information, probably would have made a different decision on which nursing home to send their loved one to, or maybe just to keep them at home and not use a nursing home at all. He's under investigation. They asked Garland what he thought about it, and shocker, he doesn't know. Let's play cut 15.
To investigate Governor Andrew Cuomo's policies concerning COVID and sending COVID positive individuals into nursing homes. A senior aide of his admitted to a cover-up to hide information from the Department of Justice. You've committed to a number of investigations here at this hearing today. Will you commit to investigating the extent to which the government of New York broke laws or covered up their policies concerning COVID positive patients in nursing homes?
With all of these investigations, the Justice Department is open to evidence of fraud, false statements, violations of the law. They normally begin in the appropriate way in the relevant U.S. Attorney's Office. And that is the way that something like this, without commenting on this in particular, because I don't know the facts.
But in this instance, the acting U.S. attorney is the mother-in-law of the senior official in the Cuomo administration that admitted to the cover-up. Will you at least commit to not having the investigation done by a person with a conflict of interest?
Of course. I don't know any of the facts, but I can guarantee you that somebody with a conflict of interest will not be the person running an investigation of any kind.
Thank you.
So what it needs in that case is a special prosecutor That's what he should have said. But again, dancing around the issue, won't actually give an answer because, surprise, surprise, it's political. And he doesn't want to go against Andrew Cuomo. Very interesting that he can commit to other investigations. But when it comes to this issue, he just claims he doesn't know enough about it. Now, maybe that's true. Maybe the media hasn't been doing a good enough job. They certainly covered Ted Cruz going to Cancun far more than Andrew Cuomo killing people's grandparents. So maybe in fairness, he hasn't heard about it because he hasn't been watching. It hasn't been covered on the news. But you would think that someone in this position about to take over the attorney general's office would understand that there is an ongoing investigation and understand that it is politically important enough for him to weigh in on it. Shocking. And also kind of not that he doesn't have a comment. So they're looking to hold a confirmation vote on him in the next week. So again, we are running a fax blast today to try and stop this. We only need to get one person committed yes to flip to no. That's it. Just one.
That's
it. And there have been a couple of different nominees who have lost Democrats and now have had their whole nomination torpedoed. Democrats are trying to get Republicans on, and it's not working.
And so why this is so important? Yeah. So why this is so important is that because they don't break unless they get substantial pressure. These Democrats will not break with a nomination. They just won't. So we need to put a substantial amount of pressure on them in order to get this done. By the way, this just in: Tiger Woods appears broke both his legs in a car accident in L.A.
No, that's a shame.
So he, they had to use the jaws of life to get him out. So prayers for him. Tiger Woods is a good man.
Oh my gosh.
Just saying.
He is. Oh my gosh. Yes, that's a shame. Hopefully he recovers quickly.
Yeah.
So as I said, Joe and I are going to be at CPAC through the rest of the week. We'll have a short podcast tomorrow. I'll record something tonight and we'll put it out tomorrow. We're both going to be in the air when we would go live, so we won't be able to do a live show tomorrow. But we will publish something probably relatively short, not a 2-hour tomorrow. Probably closer to an hour. And then we'll be live at CPAC from Media Row. Again, the times might change depending on when we're allowed to get in there, but we will be there. We'll be trying to interview people, important government officials, maybe politicians, activists, trying to get some interviews while we're there. So make sure you tune in for that. If you haven't already, make sure you like and follow our Facebook page. Follow us on DLive. We're now over 1,000 followers on DLive. We're 1.03K. So 1,030 some odd followers. If you haven't already, make sure you follow that. We'll be live there Thursday, Friday, and I guess Saturday. So make sure you look out for that. Any final words, Joe?
Look out for the stickers. You're going to like the stickers. I had to add that we care a lot about the stickers. You know, those stickers. You got to make sure you keep those stickers. But listen, I want to talk about the fact that when I said before that the left is actually coming around, they're coming around right now. So Naomi Wolf, who's an author and former Democrat advisor back in the day, came out and said that what is happening right now is going to lead to, quote unquote, a totalitarian state before, you know, with the Biden administration, and that it's going to move into a coup of sorts. I mean, this is someone on the left that says, hey, look, I'm a moderate. I just care about our rights. I care about opportunity, right? That is now saying, hey, listen, what they're doing in this administration is the most dangerous thing that's ever happened in our country. So if you decide, hey, I'm sitting on the fence and I think that maybe I should maybe move to action, you should move to action. You should do the things that actually push you out there to tell people that, hey, I'm done sitting on the sidelines. I'm done. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to do everything I can. And so you can actually go to fecunited.com. You can actually sign up there. You will get stuff from Conservative Daily, but you will also get put into the fight with FEC United.
And if anyone happens to be flying out of Denver tomorrow and they see Joe going through security, maybe go to a different line because Joe is going to get a special treatment.
I am not going to get the special treatment.
Don't wear tight-fitting pants. Anything you wear, be prepared to take it off. And and just be ready because Joe is on the list.
Look,
and he's going to get some of that special treatment.
God says that he will provide, but you got to be able to act. If you're working for it, he'll come up behind you and fortify you. But if you don't, you deserve what you get.
I think that's also what TSA calls it, coming up behind you and fortifying it. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast.
This guy.
If you like the podcast, make sure you like and follow our Facebook page. Make sure you follow us on DLive. We'll be on YouTube until we get banned again. That'll be in 3 days. So you can go over there and subscribe to us there. We also have the audio version of the podcast. Apple Podcasts, currently down. They're trying to fix it, but it will get fixed. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and Podbean, all great places to watch us. We're also on Gab TV, so make sure you subscribe to us there. On Rumble, all great places. If you're going to be at CPAC, let us know. We'll be there. And again, Mr. Producer, put up the gun giveaway. Just as one final bit, we're giving away a FMK Elite Pro Plus 9mm handgun. Link in the
from
description.
From DCF Guns.
Enter from DC, our friends at DCF Guns, who are also lending us their mobile podcasting equipment. Special thanks to them. Hopefully, we don't break it. So that's going to be it for this edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. My name is Max McGuire.
And my name is Joe Altman.
And remember, everyone, Freedom that fighter. The fight to take back our country is not over, but the only way we win is if we all stand up and fight together.